So the epistle for the fourth Sunday of Lent is taken from Galatians chapter 4. Brethren, it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise, which things are said by an allegory. For these are the two testaments, the one from Mount Sinai, endangering unto bondage, which is Agar. For Sinai is a mountain in Arabia, which had affinity to that Jerusalem which is now, and is in bondage with her children. But that Jerusalem which is above is free, which is our mother. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For many are the children of the desolate, more than of her that hath a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born according to the flesh persecuted him that was after the spirit, so also it is now. But what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not the children of the bondwoman, but of the free, by the freedom wherewith Christ hath made us free. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from John chapter 6. At that time, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is that of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw the miracles which he did on them that were diseased. Jesus therefore went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the festival day of the Jews was near at hand. When Jesus therefore had lifted up his eyes and seen a very great multitude come it to him, he said to Philip, When shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to try him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, saith to him, There is a boy here that hath 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, but what are these among so many? Then Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. The men therefore sat down in a number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to them that were set down, in like manner also the fishes, as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said to his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, lest they be lost. They gathered up therefore and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above to them that had eaten. Now those men, when they had seen what a miracle Jesus had done, said, This is of a truth that the prophet that is to come into the world. Jesus therefore, when he knew that they would come to take him by force and make him king, fled again into the mountain himself alone. Please be seated. Rejoice, O Jerusalem, in the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We have this last Sunday before Passiontide starts. We can say that the church brings out this message of joy, even amidst the penance, the fasting that we are trying to do. And in some ways to us, this is not unnatural, or it shouldn't be something that is odd to us. One, because joy and sorrow are often very closely tied. You know, how frequently joy is born of suffering, how frequently, we can say, bitter grief crushes out the joy that we have in life at times. And so these seem to go hand in hand. It should be something, as I say, that is not odd to us, that Holy Mother of the Church would bring out this message of joy amongst these Sundays of Lent. Now, all we have to do is, as it says in sacred scripture, you think of a woman that is bearing a child. You know, granted, she is in pain, she's in suffering, but then once the child is born, there is a great joy. And that joy takes away then all the pain that she had endured for, you know, the 9 months, for the time of giving birth. And so sacred scripture reminds us of that. And I think for that, it is an indication of this mingling of joy and sorrow, and how the church is trying to to symbolize that for us. And that is why the popes had traditionally always blessed a golden rose on this day. A golden rose, because a rose signifies, we can say, the same idea of joy and sorrow. Because when you look at a rose, you know, the first thing that maybe we see with that is the beautiful flower, it budding forth. But there's also attached to the rose, there's many thorns. And so we can say that the rose, it brings us to the great joy of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. But first we have to pass through then the thorns, the sorrows, the sufferings that we have in this life in order to reach that final end. And so when the Pope would bless this golden rose, he would explain the symbolism behind it of why. Why does the rose symbolize this time period? You know, why do we understand suffering and joy? And it's a good analogy for us. To see truly then this idea of a rose. And that is why Holy Mother of the Church, it blesses this rose and explains it to her faithful. To try to give them that understanding of why all of a sudden that the Church would bring out this idea of rejoicing as we're approaching very closely to the greatest part of the liturgical year, but then also when we think about all of the suffering that our Lord went through, all of the pain that our Lord suffered for us. So why would this idea of rejoice, O Jerusalem? Just as I explained to you after the second Sunday of Lent, we had the Transfiguration. And just as our Lord used that as an idea to try to inspire or to try to help his apostles, Holy Mother of the Church also does that for us too, to encourage her children. I'm saying, yes, Lent has started, but be not discouraged. And so now, 2 Sundays after that, again, Holy Mother of the Church gives to us the understanding of rejoice. Rejoice why? Because the resurrection is coming. The pinnacle of the liturgical year is coming quickly upon us. As I say, next Sunday is Passiontide, where we cover all of the statues, we cover the crucifix. Because at that point, we have to direct ourselves to what our Lord suffered for us. And so these things are covered to us, covered to the eyes. And so how quickly we can say Lent has already gone by. I mean, we're already in the 4th of the 6 Sundays. And so for Holy Mother of the Church to tell us and to remind us to rejoice, it may appear odd, but it shouldn't. As I say, in the world around us, there is this always this mixture of joy and sorrow. It is a natural part of our lives. A child is born, someone dies. This mixture of joy and suffering. And that is why then the Church gives to us this rose, this idea of the rose. Because maybe you remember if you were ever young and you tried to pick a rose for your mother and you were stuck by the thorns. And that is the first thing. You see, obviously, the beauty of the rose, and that is why you want it. You want to give it to your mother. But then reaching for it, and then you're stabbed by these thorns. Maybe that the thought comes into your mind, well, is this worth it? But then you think for your mother it is. So you pull it out, you're bleeding. But then you think about that. These thorns, they lead to what most will consider the queen of all flowers, the rose. But these thorns lead up to that. And I think that can give us a good sense, a good idea of this time period of Lent. the leading up to the fact of the resurrection of our Lord. As I say, it is the pinnacle of the liturgical year. It is our greatest feast day. It is truly, it shows to us what the Catholic Church is all about. It is about the joy and the resurrection of our Lord, and God willing, it'll be our same, we can say, the resurrection for us, of going to heaven. And so that is why the Church gives us that. You know, what a lesson it does teach to us. And so we can say that the Easter cycle is almost like this thorn bush, the two extremes, the sorrow over our sins, but then yet we can have then that fervent joy of the Easter time period. And so, yes, we take this time to think about our sins. We think about what we have done. But yet we still hold out for that great joy. We work toward that great feast. And I mentioned to you at the time period of Advent, the greater the feast, the longer the preparation that the Church gives to us. And so the Church gives us these 6 weeks to try to prepare for this great feast of showing us encouragement, but also reminding us of the temptations, the trials that we may undergo in this world. But it is with that goal in mind, just as we are shown in the second Sunday, our Lord's transfiguration, just as we're shown that, it is also a reminder to us now. Because now we have this idea of rejoicing. It is almost over. We're almost at the feast day, the pinnacle of our liturgical year. And that is what we are preparing ourselves for. So as I say, we can say this preparation, it has these two extremes. But we must realize, even with the rose, the thorns grow first, and then after that, the rose buds. But the thorns must come first. And so for us in our spiritual life, it is the same idea. These sorrows, these sufferings, these trials that we must undergo in order to reach that end. And that is why we can say, that is why we offer things up, we sacrifice things. There's a purpose behind it. It is in order to get to heaven. And that is why I say the small things we can offer up to God, they pale in comparison for Him dying on the cross. They are nothing if we look at what our Lord suffered for us. And that is why we should try to have that generosity during this time period. A willingness to sacrifice, to mortify. Because that is what we must pass through first anyway. We can say the thorny period of Lent in order to reach this bud, the rose of Easter. We must pass through that anyway. And our Lord gave us a great example of that. His passion, His suffering, His death on the cross, a true illustration of the thorns. Until finally, resurrecting on the third day, it is this bud of the rose. And so it is something that is good for us to think about. The next time you see a rose, to think about that. To think about our Lord's passion. To then think about His resurrection. And then maybe to apply that to our own lives. The trials, the difficulties that we have in this life, well, it's meant for a purpose. It is to lead us to that bud. And so that can help us then to understand why. Because there is always that question of why we have suffering, why we have to do these things. But at least Holy Mother of the Church gives us an answer to that. It may not explain everything for us, but at least explains why. Why do we have to undergo these things? As a purification, as a means to get us to that end. And so our Lord suffered that for us. He underwent that. He underwent this suffering in order to help us to get to heaven, to redeem mankind. And so therefore, all the more so, do we have to do the same. And so our Lord's suffering was not, it was a means to reach the end. Our suffering is a means to reach the end also. And so if we want to follow our Lord gives us a clear guideline by self-denial, of denying oneself, and how much that goes against the grain of this world. When everything in this world promotes the idea of satisfaction. And so by doing that, we can say that we too would be a sign of contradiction to this world, just as it was prophesied about our Lord. And so to consider that, to take that into consideration for your own soul, this idea of denying oneself and taking up our cross, again, words of our Lord. It can be a means to help us, because our Lord also said, whoever loses his life on earth will find true divine life. Losing our life on earth, denying ourselves, we will gain divine life. So we can say, in spite of maybe present worries, preoccupations, difficulties, even in the fact of thinking that worse things will happen, our Lord is permitting all of these things as a means to help us to get to heaven. I mentioned yesterday in the Day of Recollection, it is sad that the world doesn't see the catastrophes that happen in the world as a chastisement from God. That they do not see it as a wake-up call. To the world, they question, why? Why does it have to happen? All we have to do is look around at the world around us and say, no wonder. So that is why we have to consider these things. And that is why I encourage you to consider the idea of self-denying. Of not giving in to ourselves as the world promotes. To be a contradiction to the world. We must. We must be. So, these are things that we must consider. But I think also from that, by considering these things, understanding these things, it should help us. It should help us to have a better understanding of why. And then, just looking at the rose, to picture the rose, and to see, yes, the queen of all flowers, it still has these thorns. But these thorns lead us to the bud. And that is what this time period of Lent should do for us. And that is why Holy Mother of the Church reminds us to rejoice. Rejoice even amongst sometimes the sorrows and the sufferings that we have in this life. Because it will lead us to eternal glory. It will lead us to that eternal glory. So therefore, yes, it does require from us a great confidence in God. Because of the darkness, yes. The tribulations, yes. But it requires that from us to be confident and trustful in Almighty God. So as the epistle reminds us to tear ourselves away from the temporal things in order to lead us to the higher things, this heavenly Jerusalem, we must do the same. So therefore, we must cast the burdens of thy cares upon the Lord, and he will sustain us, so that we may receive the crown in heaven for all eternity. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.